The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Sonia Usech Kuhn of the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to another edition of Community Connections. Every month we will introduce you to people in the community who are making a difference. My guests today are Nikki Baer and Cindy Miller. So welcome, Nikki and Cindy. I am delighted that you can join us and share your personal stories and your careers at LCI and the folks that serve. Welcome. I'll introduce Cindy first. Cindy Miller, who lives in Louisville, Kentucky, never had vision problems growing up. She was very athletic and had always participated in sports as a child. When she was 13 years old, she had just made the high school varsity cheerleading squad. When she noticed she was having problems seeing things, after many tests and doctor's appointments, she was diagnosed with cone rod dystrophy and was told she would be blind within 2 years. Cindy continued going to regular public school and participated in sports. After graduating high school, Cindy sought employment. In February 1993, she found Kentucky Industries for the Blind. It was a manufacturing facility for people who were legally blind. Cindy thought of herself, to herself, that this was great. Everyone there knows how I feel. They are all just like me. Cindy learned every job she could, and finally she was given an opportunity to prove herself. She worked her way up to a supervisor's position. Unfortunately, that facility closed down in September 2003. But in February of 2004, LC Industries opened their doors in the same building that Kentucky Industries for the Blind had formerly been located in. Cindy again worked her way up to production supervisor, then to her current position as human resources generalist. Cindy says the big difference at LC Industries is that I only had to prove I had the skills and ability. The fact that I was legally blind did not matter to them. I had people that were willing to give me a chance. As an HR generalist, I get to hopefully make an impact in people's lives. I assist the employees if they need help with insurance and many other things. It is a great feeling to know that I maybe gave someone their chance, just like someone gave me mine. I find now that the only person standing in my way can only be me. I know there are certain things I cannot do, but it is not due to lack of ability or trying my best, and I'm okay with that. I know I have taken every opportunity that I have worked for, and given it my best effort. That is all anyone can do. But you do have to work hard and be committed to anything you do. And now let me introduce you to her colleague, Nikki Baer, also a human resources generalist. Nikki Baer, a Raleigh resident, has been legally blind since birth. She was the only student throughout her K through 12 curriculum who was blind. Nikki has grown up learning to adapt to an ever-changing sighted world. As an individual who is blind, Nikki believes in being pliable and adaptable and being able to improvise. Nikki knows that anything is possible with time, effective positive intervention, and training, and a strong work ethic. Nikki has been with LCI since the winter of 2019, when she joined the HR team. Before that, she served as Programs and Services Manager for the Raleigh Lions Club for the Blind. That's the LC, the Lions Club. Nikki has a degree in social work and a master's in sociology. Nikki has never knew of the National Industries for the Blind or knew of their associated agencies until graduating in 2016, when she found it difficult to find work in her field of study. She reached out to the Division of Services for the Blind and spoke to an employment specialist to learn about job opportunities. And that's when she learned of the Organizations for the Blind seeking out candidates who are blind for employment opportunities. Since then, Nikki has served National Industries for the Blind Advocate and received her certification in business management through National Institute for the Blind's Business Management Training Program. So, Cindy Miller and Nikki Baer, our guests today, they share three commonalities. They are both blind, employed as human resources generalists, and share similar philosophies. Welcome, and thank you for being with us today. You're more than welcome. Yes, I'm very happy to have you both with me. So, Cindy, let me begin with you. You were a varsity cheerleader and involved in many sports in high school. What did you play? Okay, so you were pretty active, and I'm guessing a good student as well. Yes, okay, of course. So now, here's the difficult part. Please explain to our audience what cone rod dystrophy is and how, at 13 years old, you dealt with the news that you would be blind. Certainly is a brave attitude. Obviously, there's no treatment for this disease of the eye. Is it a genetic situation?
You know, they say it is a genetic situation, but we can't find anyone else in my entire family on my mother or my father's side that have this cone rod dystrophy.
I see. All right. Well, thank you for the explanation. Nikki, you were legally blind since birth and yet accomplished a great deal of schooling from K through 5 and beyond. Please tell our audience how you coped and came to study social work and sociology.
So I came to be an advocate for myself early on, especially when it came to the education system. I was able to meet one-on-one with my teachers, especially in K through 12, letting them know what I needed, letting them know what I required as an individual who was blind and someone who was differently abled when it came to classroom accommodations. So, for example, if they were going to call on me in a classroom setting, I would have to ask them to, you know, speak my name, acknowledge me, let me know that you're talking to me. If they were pointing, you know, to a board or to some kind of display, I would ask them to describe it to me. Tell me what they were pointing at rather than just, you know, pointing to an inanimate object that, you know, that I wouldn't be able to see. They would be able to describe it and tell me what it was. So as far as social work, actually social work was not my first major. My first major was special education. So I did that for about a year. Went through about a year's coursework and trajectory for that. And I decided, you know, that this was not for me. So decided to change that major, and I settled on social work. And social work seemed to really tie everything together for me. So, you know, since my journey was, you know, being an advocate for myself, you know, all those years, I thought that being able to work in a human service population would help me advocate for others. So it's really marries that micro and macro systems perspective, and really helps me to advocate now for clients, for employees, in that milieu, in that system that I'm in now.
Well, that's quite commendable. I'd like to ask you, when you were in the K to 12, how the other kids treated you? We know that they could be very compassionate, and they could be very cruel. What did you find?
It was my experience that most of my peers were incredibly compassionate, incredible loving kindness, especially because I was the only student who was blind in my entire elementary to high school. And we kind of, you know, we had to learn up, and we had to grow together. And it was a very good experience, absolutely a very good experience. I could teach them, and they could learn from me as well.
Well, that's really good to hear, because sometimes kids are not that way. So you were fortunate, and I'll bet because it's the way you are, they were that way to you too. Did you use Braille to, you know, learn your coursework?
I did not. I did not. I was sent to public school and mainstreamed, so I did not have that exposure to those, you know, to the Braille, and that was just not what I used. I did use large print books, books on tape. And I can tell you, you know, now with Audible, you know, the advancement of technology has come so far, it's at our fingertips now.
Fantastic. And I'll just stick with you for a little bit before I get back to Cindy. But tell me something about the Division of Services for the Blind. They are another community agency. And how did they help you?
Absolutely. So, DSB, the Division of Services for the Blind, they began to help me with independent living skills and orientation and mobility early on when I was in school. You know, I can vividly recall two DSB counselors. At the time, they did home visits. Maybe they still do. But they would come to my home and help me with, you know, learning these daily tasks. You know, for example, you know, I had bump dots on, you know, on dials. So, you know, if you can think about a washing machine or a stove or, you know, any appliance where, you know, there would be a button or, you know, an indicator that I couldn't see, well, you know, they'd put a bump dot on it for me. So I would just by memory know where certain things were. Orientation and mobility, again, that was something that, you know, we worked on, both in the home and both, in a community setting or, you know, orientation around my school. And two particular ladies who I will forever be indebted to. I'm not sure where they are today, but if they are out there, I certainly want to let Rebecca Stylings and Pamela Bai know that they had an indelible impact on my life. They were both with DSB, and they were both blind, and that exposure that I had early on, I still carry that with me today. I'm really able to emulate those ladies and saw early on that, you know, being a blind professional is possible. Being able to have a job, being able to live independently, that was possible. And I really was able to see that demonstrated through them, through that exposure. So forever be grateful for that.
Great. So let me move on. Both of you are employed as human resources generalists. What is a generalist, Cindy, and what are your duties?
A human resources generalist is someone who helps oversee and administrate leave administration, employee relations, wellness programs, hiring, recruiting. We also have benefits. And if you have time, I'd love to tell your listeners more about the benefits that we have at LCI.
Sure. Give it a quick commercial.
Sure. We have a comprehensive benefits package. We have medical, dental, vision. We have life insurance. The company provides a $20,000 life insurance at no cost to the employees. We have a transportation allowance for the BVI employees to help offset some of the public transportation. We also have a surplus sharing and a 401k. The 401k has a partial match, but our best benefit is our surplus sharing plan, where LCI puts 12.5% of the employees' gross annual income into the surplus sharing plan at no cost to the employee. And that's an outstanding benefit.
That sounds like a great company to work for. Did you want to add anything to that, Nikki?
Well, I think, you know, Cindy summed that up very nicely. But I guess I could expand on just a couple of areas. As HRGs, we help to build relationships with candidates, build relationships with other community partners as we recruit and source for our open jobs. So as a generalist, we are, in essence, on the front lines. So we have to know the jobs. We have to know really what we're looking for, when we're sourcing.
Good.
Anything
else?
I guess another part of our role, again, it goes back to advocating for employees, being able to help them get access to community services, get connected to local resources, and just be an all-around advocate and just really help them in any way we can.
Okay. So the next question I have, I'll split one with Nikki and the second one with Cindy. So, Nikki, there's a program called the Ability One program at LCI. What does that do and for whom?
Okay, so LCI is one of the largest central nonprofit agencies in the NIB network, or the National Industries for the Blind. And we are also one of the largest employers for people who are blind. So the Ability One program was formerly known as the Javits-Wagner-O'Day, or JWAD. JWAD started out as the Wagner-O'Day Act, which was passed in 1938. And in 1938, it provided employment opportunities for people who were legally blind. And this allowed them to manufacture commodities to sell to the federal government. So in 1971, about 40 years later, the Javits Amendment was added on, which provided employment opportunities for people who were blind as well as other disabilities. And it's still allowed the Ability One program to service the federal government. So let's see, what else can I say about the Ability One?
Does that include the military?
Pardon?
The military.
Yes. So I guess in addition to the Javits-Wagner-O'Day Act, the Ability One program itself currently provides employment opportunities to nearly 42,000 Americans who are blind or have other disabilities. So the largest consumer of those Ability One products and commodities is going to be for the Department of Defense, or DOD. So annually, I think the last statistic, the Department of Defense procures $2.3 million of Ability One products and services.
Wow. That's quite an undertaking. So because you do so much, Cindy, if you would continue and talk about and tell us the mission of LCI and its impact on the blind community. The mission.
Sure. LCI has been, since 1935 is when Lions Club International first began in North Carolina. Our mission is to employ people who are blind or visually impaired. We're one of the nation's largest employers of people who are blind and visually impaired. And, you know, we want to give career opportunities through upward mobility to that community. And that community is, we've offered many opportunities to that community, and we, you know, continue that as our mission statement. You know, we have our core values, which were mission-driven. You know, we're stepper-uppers, blameless problem solvers, and no drama example setters. And those are the core values we try to live by and try to find people that want to join our team that embrace those core values. And, you know, hopefully people that, you know, come to LCI, you know, they might decide to work their way within the company or branch out within their community for other job opportunities.
What is the ratio of blind to sighted people at LCI?
Those statistics change weekly, of course, because we have employees that may leave or retire, or, you know, we might hire somebody. You know, under the Ability One program, we do have requirements that we do have to meet. I believe that requirement is 75% to 25% of our direct labor workforce. So, you know, I do know at this time we have almost 300 blind or visually impaired employees.
Well, that's really wonderful. So LCI in North Carolina is located in, their headquarters are in Durham. Tell us, Nikki, a little about what happens there, and then we'll talk about Kentucky.
Absolutely. So, yes, our corporate office is located here in Durham, and that's at 4500 Emperor Boulevard, and that's the location where I am today. And the location, we have a very large facility here. So the facility here houses our administrative office. So that's going to comprise executive offices, finance, accounting, IT, customer service. And we also have a manufacturing division, which is which we share with the building. So it's on the down the hallway from me, in fact. So we manufacture products at all of our locations to support those federal contracts. So here we produce mattresses, file folders, locks, light sticks. So, file folders, mattresses, light sticks. We also have what's called an X stamp department. So in that department, manufacture nameplates, stationery, signage.
Oh, it sounds like a lot. It sounds like a lot that you actually accomplished there. Cindy, can we say ditto for the same in Louisville, Kentucky? Are the things that happen there quite similar to Durham?
Yes, the Louisville manufacturing facility as well. You know, each HR journalist, we all have our own territories that we're responsible for. So, like I do Louisville, Kentucky, Hazelhurst, Mississippi, and Jackson, Mississippi. And so, you know, we all have different territories that we recruit for. And, you know, we just encourage people that are interested in employment to go to our website at www.lcindustries.com. But, yes, we all share responsibilities at all of our different locations.
So we are winding down in time. I just want to say how inspirational you are, and if you could each give me one sentence on the philosophy of your lives. How do you see yourself? Please, Cindy, go ahead, and then Nikki. One
work
sentence.
Hard. Work hard and don't stop trying.
That's one sentence. Terrific. Okay. And Nikki, what would you like to say?
I would say life is a daring adventure or nothing.
Wow. To the point. You can be writers. Well, I would very, very much like to thank you for not only being here, but for enlightening us and our listeners, because there may be people out there who require the services of LCI and would, I think, from what you described, be in an atmosphere and work with folks who have the attitude that your skill is what's important. So we've actually run out of time right now, so thank you again. We've run out of time for this month's episode of Community Connections. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. I'm Sonia Yusech-Kuhn for the North Carolina Reading Service. Community Connections is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments, questions, or would like to be a sponsor of Community Connections, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to North Carolina Reading Service.